Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's so good to see you all here this morning. Thank you for all of you who were here yesterday. It was such a joy to be with all of you in that in the Lee Activity Center and to enjoy the fellowship of what was a beautiful representation of the church that is such a precious gift to Pam and myself. As I mentioned last night, the potluck was just amazing, and so just want to thank you all for that. Someone mentioned that if we would have gathered 200 more people, we still would have had enough food. And so just so thankful for folks who did so much. It was just such a blessing. We have not actually had a potluck here at the church for quite a while, and that really is in a reflection of just the changing nature of our community. And so being able to have a potluck with all of you and seeing that as a part of our departure was just such a wonderful gift. If you were not here last night, you missed Bruce Miyake. He was in rare form, and so I want to give thanks to Bruce. He gathers together information, and you think to yourself, oh, he doesn't have anything on you, and then all of a sudden he starts bringing this stuff out, and it gets a little crazy. So, yeah, so that quilt was one that Pam Ikigami Sani Mayakawa and Marianne Tata made for Pam. And that has some of the shirts that was a part of VBS and around Asian camp time when we were here, and so thankful for that. So, yeah. And then back here, this was the gift that Pam and I gave to the church, and that is, it's not meant to be a communion set, but we're creating it to be one in that sense. So a chalice with a plate, and when I was looking, I went to Orcas Island to buy this, and when I was looking for different things, I started hearing voices in my head about, you know, about different things. So the first thing I thought of is somebody would tell me, Reverend Derek, that cup is so deep, it's going to waste so much grape juice. Can you buy a smaller cup? And then, you know, it was such a funny thing that I bought this, and when I brought it home, Pam goes, oh, it's so beautiful. You really match the colors of the altar. And I looked and I said, yeah. I was so clueless, I didn't even think about that, to be honest with you. It didn't even occur to me, and I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is great. So anyways, but last night I just gave a short explanation of why we wanted to leave this all with you. It's because I feel like this table is the center of everything that we are about and all that we do. And especially here at this church, you'll remember every time we did communion, I would remind us of the open table and the idea that all are welcome here. And so the center portion of our communion time was always gathering around the table and for us to give thanks. And then this bowl what is probably just a regular fruit bowl or something, but making it into a baptismal bowl and a reminder of the fact that we are all a part of God's family. And so wanting to have this filled with water and keeping it around in a way that would allow you to touch the water. And so I humbly asked Chig to make a little stand for this that could stand out in the narthex and in the entryway to the sanctuary so that you all would be able to touch the water and be able to give thanks for all of that. And so we are here at the last Sunday. It's hard to believe. I've been living in denial for the last 6 months because it is just hard for me to even begin to imagine that we're going to leave here. We have been here for about 8.5 years. And it has been a wonder and a joy to be able to share in this moment with you. Reverend Dion kind of went through some of the sermon topics that I have been doing over the last few weeks, and it was my way of just wanting to share some last words with you all. Now, some people have come to me and said, yeah, that's just like Reverend Derek. He always wants to get in the last word, and it's true. But at some level, it was just a way for me to encourage you as a church. And so if you could pull the first slide up. So I created this graphic just as a way for you to remember this. Reverend Dion kind of went through it. But just in general, just wanting for us to remember the things that make us who we are and to be able to celebrate that and give thanks for that. But to also see that as a part of our continued vision for the future. What we recognize is that that vision has brought us this far. But we know that if we are going to continue to grow and change as a church, if we're going to move into the future, that we continue to articulate those values that are so very important to us as a church. And so some of those last words up there, I described the power of one. I talked about how diverse this community is. And when we bring our gifts and strengths together, we are able to do miraculous things. We look at the bazaar. We look at sukiyaki. We look at Walk for Rice yesterday and Justine's leadership of our church. And recognize when we work together and bring our gifts together and make great commitments to one another, we can do great things. I talked about change and the necessity of change. The reality is that ultimately at the end of the day, change is upon us. And the question for us is that change going to come from decline and decay, or will it become because we will it come to us because we have grand vision for the future and a belief that we are here for a reason, that there's an important reason why we are here. And if we can continue to articulate that reason, then change that will come will be the kind of change that will move us into the future with great possibilities. But if we lose that sense of vision, our sense of change will come from decline and decay, because nothing will be happening in this sanctuary and in this community. And so we continue to live into that. The question about who is our neighbor is such an important one. Continuing to ask that question on a regular basis, who is our neighbor and how can we be more neighborly? What is it that we will do to serve our neighbors? Yesterday, Justine and the Ng family helped us to bring a powerful effort for Walk for Rice. I know that in many ways it brought an effort. The effort came out because of our love for Sam and the ways in which Sam and Tommy have been such a formative part of this church's story and history. But my prayer is that it would not just be that alone, but it would also be the vision that they have imparted it inside of this church, that we will always be a community church that will be engaged in our neighborhood. We will work together with others in ways that will help to bring forth new life. Saints and Stories was about remembering our history. I'm always so grateful as I look out in the sanctuary for the Niseis who are here, because you are the ones who helped to imprint the DNA on this church. You are a part of the legacy and lineage of this congregation, that you go back to your parents and to the Issei generation, and you remind us of what it is that made us as a church feel that sense that we had a mission and a vision here in this place. But so grateful and thankful as well, not just for the history and for that DNA, but also for those who are now embracing that DNA, the young families who are a part of this church now. And so grateful and thankful that they come to bring renewal to this church. We hear and see in their stories, we look at our children and we hear and see in their stories a great diversity of gifts and resources. They bring a wealth of experiences that enable our church to look to the future and see great hopefulness for who we can become as a congregation. I know that for our new young families, that I want to say to them, I know change is sometimes difficult, and intergenerational churches like this, we sometimes move slowly. And so be patient, but also be persistent. Continue to articulate that renewal that is a part of this church, and so that we might experience the gift that would lead us to the future with hope. And the one that I wanted to leave you with was thankfulness. As I think about all of that and I think about who we are, my heart is filled with such deep gratitude. I love that song that the kids they sang this morning. It's actually a song that I knew before and is a favorite song of mine. I remember that as a VBS song when I was in California. And so hearing them sing that song today, what a blessing it was, reminding us of the importance of being thankful. One of the things that I've described to you all before in thinking about this is Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit movement in the Catholic Church, he was a person who believed that if you allowed gratitude to be the first and center portion of your life, that everything else would change in its perception. You would be able to see life in a different way because your heart would be filled with such gratitude that even when you experienced hardship and struggle and suffering, you would still experience the presence of God in your life and know that you might, even in the struggle, find ways to be thankful to God for the friends who surround you to support you, for the people who are praying for you, for the possibilities that open up for you, even in the midst of conflict and struggle, that we might continue to experience the gifts of grace that come in the midst of those kinds of hardships. And so thinking about that and being able to give thanks for all of the ways that God has blessed us in this life. When we look at this fellowship and look at what we are celebrating here today, we are ultimately celebrating the miracles of God. How can we be together like this and not know how wonderfully blessed we are? The other day, I showed folks the listing of the churches that I'll be serving as a district superintendent. The churches, there are 55 churches. And I said, as you look at the names of the churches, there's a great diversity within those congregations. But the thing that I reminded our BLT group about was that on that list of churches, this church is one of the true treasures of the Seattle-Tacoma district. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from our bishop and coming from our superintendent, Rich Lang. He talks about us all the time as a church where there is great vitality, where things are happening, where the Spirit is moving, and we are doing great things. And so as I showed them the list, I said, you know, of this list, there are probably five other churches that worship the number of people that we worship here. And the majority of those churches probably worship 30, 40, 50, 60 people maybe. Now, that's not to say that their ministry is not vital and it's not important, but it is to say for us that we are so very blessed to have the number of folks who are a part of this church community and know that we as a church are celebrating those gifts and are so grateful and thankful for all of that. And so as we find our ways to saying goodbye in these moments, my heart is filled with such deep gratitude. As I look around this room for Pam and I, as I said last night, I have stories with each one of you that I could tell. And as folks have come up to talk to me, they have said words that have reminded me of the way that we've journeyed together. As we were coming into the sanctuary, somebody said, "I remember when you were with me when my wife died." And I hear stories of people who say, "We remember you at potlucks and picnics. We remember you and give thanks to you for the times that you visited me when I was sick." And I look at that and just feel so humbled and honored that I've had that opportunity. Pam and I have had that opportunity to be with you all in just that way. And there's lots of funny stories that go along with that as well. There are lots of ways that I could tell silly, crazy stories like David did already. I was the one who asked him to be a liturgist. So you all can know that he didn't do this on his own. I asked him to be a liturgist because he would help to keep it light today. I was thinking, I saw Sid Coe come in this morning, and I'm so grateful that Sid is here. Sid was actually one of the first people that I interacted with in the community, and it was during a funeral service. And so we were at this funeral site, and we were doing a service, and it was raining outside, of course. And I looked at Sid, and I said, "Well, what do we do, Sid? Do we wait till it stops raining?" And he looked at me like, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, I live in Seattle now, not in California." Because in California, we would wait until the rain stopped, and then we'd do the burial service. It's like, "Oh, no, we don't wait around here, Reverend Derek. We got to just go for it." You know, I was like, "Okay." But so many stories and so many ways that our hearts are just filled with such deep gratitude. You know, one of the things that I would say is the way that I've always wanted the church to be is I've wanted the church to be the kind of place where you can come just as you are. And whenever you come, however you come, whatever you bring, whatever you do here in this fellowship, you're a part of this family. And ultimately, I feel that spirit in the room, and I'm so grateful and thankful for that. I wanted to go back to the scripture reading to kind of lift that up as well. So if you can go ahead and progress to the next one. This is the scripture reading that was written, that was read by Reverend Jeannie. And it reminds us of Paul's words. Some of you will remember, do you remember my first sermon series here in 2011? I preached this passage like 6 weeks in a row. And you all, I'm sure you were thinking, man, our pastor doesn't know very much about the Bible because he stays on the same passage 6 weeks in a row. But I preached on this passage, different portions of this passage, 6 weeks in a row. And part of the reason why I did was because I wanted to tell my story because this is one of my favorite passages of the Bible. This was the passage that was read at Pam and mine's wedding. It's something that I want our church always to lift up and give thanks for. And so this passage is one that reminds us about the qualities of what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but how we live together in community and find ways to build bridges in our lives through the ways that we relate to one another. And so these are Paul's words again, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. So we begin with that. That you all are here for a reason and that God has chosen you to be in this particular moment. And know that that is a part of our identity. That is who we are as people. And so we hold on to that and give thanks for that because it reminds us that that's the foundation of everything. We are children of God. And everything that is born from that, we desire to be pleasing to God. And so we find ways in our lives to continue to articulate that we are holy and beloved. We are children of God. We're a part of God's family, and nothing will ever change that. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Paul's words here remind us that in community, we are not always going to get along. We are not always going to be in agreement. We're not always going to have harmony in our church family because we're also very different. We bring different stories and agendas to who we are. But in those moments when we find that there is a break in community, that we find ways in humility to build the bridges that restore us into relationship. And that begins with forgiveness. That we find ways to speak words of forgiveness to one another in those times when we're in conflict with each other. Above all else, clothe yourself with love, which binds together everything together in perfect harmony. Go to the next slide. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. Last passage, last portion. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Three times in the last three verses, he mentions thanksgiving. The idea that thanksgiving is at the heart of what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and that when our actions are born out of a heart of gratitude, we will find that those actions will be a reflection of the joy of what it is to be a child of God and how we live together in community. And so we give thanks for all of that. Cicero, the great Greek philosopher, once said that gratitude is not just the greatest of all virtues, it's the parent of all others. Gratitude is not just the greatest of all virtues, it's the parent of all others. And that is when we have a heart of gratitude, we can know that in our lives, what will be born from that will come from that grateful heart. That even in the midst of our adversity and struggles, that we will be able to have that heart of gratitude that would allow us to see hopefulness in the future and in that present moment. And so my prayer is, as we come to the end of Pam and mine's time with all of you, that you would hold on to all of that. As we look to the future, as Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church, you have before you a wonderful and blessed future. It's going to be difficult, it's true. The reality is that as we look at what the United Methodist Church is doing now, there are many hard questions that we will struggle with as a church. But what's important for us to know is that even in the experience of seeing and feeling the harm that the LGBTQ community is experiencing in our lives and our sadness about all of that, that at the same time we know that it has brought us to the place where we are going to have to make hard choices and think about who we are as a church. And so as much as that story is one of great adversity and one that brings deep sadness to us, at the same time, we see in it an opportunity, and the opportunity is for us to articulate who we are as a church and what it is that we desire to be. And so as we look to the future, my prayer is that we would see every opportunity in our ministry to be able to do the same things, to articulate what is most important in our values, to find ways to continue to say that we will be filled with the heart of gratitude. And in that, we will discover that joy that enables us as a community, as diverse and as just widespread in our experiences and our stories, that we might find that we are bound together in a way that nothing can separate. And that is through the Spirit of Jesus Christ that joins us together as the body of Christ. And in that body of Christ, we would find truly that we have the ability to bring praise and thanksgiving to God here on Beacon Hill. I believe it firmly in my heart and my mind that we are here for a reason. There's a reason why we are on Beacon Hill at this moment and at this time. And it's an important mission and ministry for us to be able to do. We engage in partnerships with ACRS and ICHS, and we find different ways to be engaged in the community because we are here for a reason. And if we continue to articulate that reason, we will continue to find that there is much yet for us to do, but much yet for us as well to be able to say that we have already and will continue to do in and through this ministry. And so as we come to the end of our time, Pam and I are just so grateful to all of you for all that we have shared together. I can't believe 8.5 years have gone by so fast. In so many ways, we feel just truly blessed for having shared this time with you. As I mentioned last night, it is truly a miracle. Like, we feel that sense of love that you all exude for one another, and that you have lifted up for this church, and that we, Pam and myself, have been beneficiaries of that, that you have loved your pastoral families, that you have been here for us and supported us and encouraged us and walked with us through everything that we have gone through. And so we just want to say thank you to all of you and to let you know that we will never forget you, that our hearts will continue to be truly full with our life experience here at Blaine Memorial. And as I look at the pastoral journey that we have been on and come now to say goodbye to this church, we would be able to say that the true uniqueness of this congregation, it has been a true blessing for us. And as we lift that up to all of you this day, our hearts are filled with deep gratitude to God for all that we have shared together. And know that it is truly a miracle that God has brought us together. Truly a miracle of what we have been able to do. And we know that we aren't perfect as a church. There's much yet that we can still do. But Pam and I will firmly continue to pray for you and believe that as you continue to look to the future with hope, that you will truly experience the gifts and the grace of God. Close with a story that I heard about this pastor who was known for his long sermons, like me, I guess. Long sermons. 30 minutes worth of sermons was nothing for him. He preached for an hour. And so he came to that point in the life of his church where he wanted to tell them that he was leaving. And so it was his last Sunday, and he stood up in front of the congregation and he said, "I just want to tell you all that I've been so grateful to be here, but Jesus is calling me to a new ministry." And he kept going on and on about how Jesus was calling him, and Jesus restored him, and Jesus was blessing him, and Jesus was moving him. And while he was going to be sad to leave the church, he said, "Jesus is calling me to the future, and I'm going to follow where that call leads." And the people were like, "No, okay, all right, yeah, we got that, yeah." And so the sermon finally came to an end, and he sat down. The liturgist stood up, and he said, "Thank you, Pastor, for that word. Let's all join together now in singing the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I tell you that silly story to tell you this, and that is that Pam and I firmly believe that it was the grace of God that brought us from California here to be with all of you, to plant ourselves in Seattle and find a home here in the Pacific Northwest. And so we just know in so many ways that God was a part of leading us here to this place. And God was a part of this congregation as you opened your arms to us and said, "Californian, okay, welcome and be a part of our Blaine Memorial family." Not knowing that the love that you were sharing with us, the love of God that you were sharing with us, it was transforming our hearts every single day, and we were more and more establishing ourselves as people of the Pacific Northwest. What a blessing that is. But I would tell you as well that in the very same way, as I experienced the presence of God, the God that has led us here is the God who is leading Reverend Karen Yokota Love to be with you. And that as much as you might feel a sense that you're wondering about what the future will look like, remember that what we have shared together, it was because God brought us here, and that we have been able to experience such great miracles in ministry and such great mission that we have been able to accomplish together. But as we depart from you all, you can know that as we feel like God has called us to this next part of our journey, we know that you all have helped to prepare us for that, and we are moving into that in a way that we pray will enable us to continue to be fruitful in ministry. But we can know as a church as well that it is God who has led Reverend Karen and Jesse to be your pastor family in the middle of July. And my prayer is that in the very same way that you opened your hearts and this ministry to all of us, to Pam and I, that you will do so to Reverend Karen as well. And know that she is, she's not me in lots of good ways too, but recognizing that she is going to bring a whole wealth of gifts and experiences different than me that would enable you as a congregation to go the next phase of your mission and ministry for the future. And so my prayer is that in the very same way that you welcomed us, that you would do the very same thing for Reverend Karen Yokota Love and for husband Jesse. And as you do, we can trust that God had a hand in all of that. And that as you come to be in ministry with her, as you celebrate and lift up praise and come together in joy, work through hard things, find ways to work through conflicts and concerns, that you would experience the same miracles of ministry that we have been able to share with all of you. And so our prayer this day is that you all would experience that gift and know that God is a part of all of this, and that the God who has enabled you to be here for 115 years will not let you down, that God will be present with you and activating you in ministry so that you might be able to carry that into the future with hopefulness and with joy and with a sense of mission and purpose for the ministry that God has given to you here on Beacon Hill. All thanks and praises to God. We give thanks for God's miracles and for the ways that those miracles will continue on in ministry as you look to the future with hope and encouragement. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Loving God, we're grateful and thankful for this time that we have shared together. We are so thankful for this time that Pam and I have had to be in this ministry here at Blaine Memorial. We know, oh God, that you have been a part of everything that has happened here in this place. There have been times when we have experienced great challenge and you have enabled us to persevere. We have been together in joyful moments when we have shared in celebration in spirit. We have been together to mourn the passing of our loved ones and shared in moments where we have been able to, as a community, surround one another and hold each other up in our sorrows and our grieving. We've been together in baptizing infants, and we have been together in being present for those who are going through life transitions and changes in their own lives. And so we are thankful and grateful for this, O God, and for the miracles of ministry that you have placed here in Blaine Memorial. We know, God, that this is just the continuation of a ministry that begins with Jesus Christ, but that has continued on through this church's history, and it continues to open up to us possibilities and fruitfulness for the future. And we pray, O God, that you would enable us to carry that vision into the future with great commitment, great courage, great wisdom, and great hope. And we pray, O God, that you would use each person in this sanctuary and the gifts that they bring to enliven this community so that we might look in that future and see, O God, that you are working in miraculous ways and asking us to join you in that effort. And we pray, O God, that you would enable us to do just this. Give us that strength and courage and the ability to take that leap of faith, O God, as we step out from that place of safety into the swirling waters, and know that you will be there to hold us up as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We thank you and praise you, O God, for this gift. We thank you for this ministry and for this history. We thank you for the future that you have placed before us and for our ability to access that future through the ministry of this church and the gifts and the talents of each person in this community who call Blaine Memorial their spiritual home. We give thanks to you, O God, for this gift. We thank you for this time. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.